Welcome back to Success Made Last. I'm Rick Tokeny. This is our Sports Legends series brought to you by Blinkist.com. We're so honored to have on our show today Drew Joyce, high school coach and mentor to LeBron James, straight out of East Liverpool, Ohio. He's been married for over 40 years, started his corporate life with Hunt Wesson Foods, then moved over to coaching part-time. It is great to have you on, Coach. How are you doing?
I'm just fine, thank you. How are you?
How are you?
Coach, you wrote the book Beyond Championships, a playbook for winning. It is so well written. Congratulations on completing this epic story that reflects best version.
Well, thank you very much. We believe we have a story to tell that, you know, everyone can relate to because I kind of look at it like I'm just kind of an everyday guy, a high school coach who's been blessed to, you know, coach some very significant players, but also had an opportunity to have an impact in their lives in a very strong way.
Well, absolutely. Hey, Coach, beyond the introduction that I gave and provided, tell us a little bit about your journey, and please share with us information on your wonderful wife, Carolyn, who you dedicated the book to.
Yes, I'm from a small town in southeast Ohio. The name of the city is East Liverpool, Ohio. I was born and raised there and played football and ran track. And after college, I went to Ohio University, and that's where I met my wife, Carolyn, who I have been married to for 36 years, and we've raised four children. We have five grandchildren. All of our children are all happily married, and as I said, we have five grandchildren. So we've been extremely blessed as a family. I started out my career in corporate America. I worked in consumer sales for a large food processing company. The company was Hunt Wesson Foods when I started. By the time I ended through buyouts and mergers, it was part of the Conagra Foods, and was coaching kind of part-time while I was working during the day. I come home in the evenings and started coaching youth basketball, but then I became a high school coach, and for like 2.5 years, I was the head basketball coach, still working in corporate America. In 2004, left corporate America and began our faith walk, which we've been able to build a business around the basketball, and which allows me to continue to coach high school basketball.
Yeah, it's like God has brought you to this great intersection of life where you are providing words of wisdom and mentorship and stewardship and servant leadership as well. And in reading your book, I was intrigued about your own mother. And you say, thankfully, my mother, who clearly held a bigger vision for me, put her foot down and insisted that college comes first. God bless your mother. Tell us a little bit more about her.
Yeah, I my first year of college was at a small college. I went there to play football. It didn't work out. It was Ashland College, now Ashland University. And I came home and was thinking about transferring to Ohio University, but I got a job at the local steel mill. And, you know, the money was really good at that time in my life. And, you know, I, like most college kids, just fresh out of high school, I didn't have a lot. You know, our family was very poor and, you know, a lot of love. So I never really understood, honestly, how poor we were until I started filling out the college entrance form and really seeing how much money my mother and father made. So, but after that first year of college, I was honestly enjoying working in the steel mill. I had kind of an easy job. I was making good money, and I just went to my mother. I said, you know what, I think I'm just, you know, I'm going to stay here. I had a lot of friends from high school working in the steel mill, so I said, I'm just going to stay here. And but my mother, you know, she said, no, you know, you're going to finish this. You're going to go on and get your education. And I didn't fight her because I'd have lost the battle anyway if I tried to fight her. But you know, thankfully, I listened. I went back, and as I share in the book, not more than 2.5 years after I go back into school, the mill closed down, and all those what I thought were good jobs were gone.
Wow, that's fortuitous. What a wonderful mom that you had. You also mentioned Bishop Joey Johnson. Tell us about Bishop Johnson and how he shaped you into your best version.
Yeah, you know, I was a young husband, married. My wife and I had been married for, I guess, going on 5 years when we moved to Akron. But as most young couples, we were just kind of, you know, going through our life, not really, you know, without a lot of direction. We were committed to one another, but we just didn't really have a lot of direction about how to make things work. And the company offered me an opportunity. We were living in Pittsburgh at the time, offered me an opportunity to move to Ohio to assume another position. I took it, and, you know, that was the first thing we looked for when we moved here was a church, a good church home, and we found that at the House of the Lord. And Bishop Johnson you know, became a great leader and mentor in my life because of, you know, how he did everything. You know, everything was organized, everything was done in excellence, and to know that he had, when I came to the church, there was 500 or 600 members, but he had started it in his home with 4 members, and, you know, that was impressive to me to see what he had built. And through his teaching and the people that I met at the church, I made a lot of friends, and you know, we're blessed by associations with other members in the in our church. But it all stemmed from Bishop's leadership and how he you know, had a heart for what was pretty much the whole church body at the time were young families. And he really helped us as husband and wife to endure those trials. And, you know, the one thing that, you know, we always talked about, he said, you can have a class for everything, but there's no classes on how to raise your children. Probably the most important job that you have as a young couple. You kind of go do everything hit or miss, but he wanted us to not be that group of parents. And so there was all kinds of classes and all kinds of seminars and retreats that we went to as a young married couple that really cemented our relationship and helped us to raise our family.
And that's what it's all about. You never know what seeds are planted along the way and when they're to be harvested. I believe that your book is truly, truly remarkable and needed more now than ever. Can we take a little bit of a walk back in through history and tell us about the first time that you met LeBron James? What was your first impression?
Yeah, honestly, the first time I saw him was at a football game, a youth football game. Didn't know who he was. I just, you know, in fact, I didn't know who he was until later on. You know, someone said, oh yeah, he was that running back who kind of scored 2 or 3 touchdowns on the team my son played on. But then after the football season, my son and he were rivals in the Akron Rec League basketball. And, you know, LeBron was, you know, a pretty unassuming young man, very talented, very, you know, skilled athletically. So they were rivals at the time. So I just watched my son's team play against his team, and they were very, very competitive games. The two had playing against one another, and at the end of that season, that recreation season, my son was chosen to play on a travel team, and you know, I went, and the travel team. Drew played on it, played in a couple, you know, tournaments, and this was probably May, And some of the kids left the team, and I told the coach, well, I said, I happen to know another young man who might be interested in playing. And through the coach of his rec team, I got in touch with LeBron and went kind of cold turkey to his house and knocked on the door. I can remember his mother coming to the door, and she was kind of eyeing me like, who are you? Why are you here? And it was, you know, I shared with her who had, that, you know, Frankie Walker had shared her address, and, you know, I wanted LeBron to come and see about playing on this team, and his eyes kind of lit up. You know, he could, you know, he and Drew were, even though they didn't really know each other, they had that you know, respect from each other's playing against each other. So his mother, you know, she said, well, yeah, I'm going to go too. So she came and went to the practice, and we just kind of showed her what was going on. And from that point, she saw that, you know, how we did things. She kind of liked it, and she honestly put a lot of trust and faith into me. And from that point, LeBron and I started to build what has become a great relationship. And my son and him are still the best of friends. And you know, the one thing about it, as we, you know, as I the next year became the coach of that team, we decided to put together an organization. There was a gentleman in our church who had a organization that was called Say Yes to Tennis, and it was a Christian organization, but it was to teach inner city kids the fundamentals of tennis. And I kind of really just copied what he had done and tried to do a basketball organization in the same way. And we were committed as Christian men to live a Christian example in front of the boys that we were coaching. And the one thing that always stuck out to me about LeBron is he was always watching. You know, even when you didn't think he was watching you, he was watching. And so, you know, we made it our business to try to do things in a respectful manner and in a way that would glorify our Lord and Savior, but that would also give him and the rest of the young men an idea of what true manhood is about. And, you know, not that we were perfect, we made mistakes, but the one thing that we always did is whenever we realized we had done something wrong, we shared it with the young man. We were able to be transparent and say that, hey, we don't have it all together, and we know we messed up right here, but we want you to know that we messed up too. And you know, so LeBron was very open to that. And as far as his basketball, he was like a sponge. He and my son Drew, they made me a better coach because everything that I taught, they absorbed so quickly that I always had to have something new. I always had to try to be one step ahead of them. And well, now they're light years ahead of me as far as basketball, but that's okay too. So I understand and recognize that at that young age, though, they were very you know, thirsty and wanted to know and wanted to learn. And we had a saying back then that myself and the other men who were involved, if you teach them how to play, the winning would take care of itself. So we spent a lot of time really just teaching the game, not really being concerned about the winning.
Yeah, and Coach, that really tells me that you picked the perfect title for your book, Beyond Championships, A Playbook for Winning at Life. It's I love your book for so many reasons, but one of the words you just used, transparent, is a key reason for loving your book. It's when you read this book, folks, you're going to find out what it's like to be in the locker room and some of the things that the coach says and how you manage yourself is in a very humble way, especially when you guys lost the championship in your first year when everybody thought you were, you know, you were going to be the victors. And Coach, if we were in that locker room today, how did you manage yourself, given that you knew that the LeBron Jameses of the world were watching how you were going to react as a man?
Yeah, you know, it was a very tough time. And you know, the one thing that you know, I tried to make sure that they understood, and my son was you know, his his desire to win and his thirst for winning, like the rest of them. But Drew kind of lost it and created a foul that really sealed the victory for the other team. But in those moments, you know, what I wanted them to recognize is that, you know, hold your head up high. That, you know, this hurts, and I'm not trying to say that it doesn't hurt. And as much as we could, that we, you know, we were going to, you know, be gracious in defeat. So while we were on the court that day, we were gracious in defeat. Our kids were in tears. And they were hurt, but they didn't storm off the court. They, you know, they recognized and they went about doing things in the right way, as you should, losing a big game. But you know, beyond that, once we left the court and in the days that followed, we really just recommitted ourselves, myself included. I had to admit to them that, you know, that I also got caught up in that time trying to win, because I was so afraid that losing would kind of define me as a coach. That, you know, they had already won two state championships, and now I'm coming in as a novice, really a first year coach, and coaching a team that's ranked in the nation and as playing all these nationally ranked teams, and we had had a lot of success up to that state championship game. But I knew that losing it, that the blame would fall squarely on me, and it did. And I struggled with that, honestly. And my son and my wife kind of helped me the next morning to kind of get it together and recognize that. That all was not lost, that, you know, we can rebound from this. And then from that point forward, I was just committed to letting the young men know that, you know, okay, we did some things, we made some mistakes, but, let's correct these things and let's refocus ourselves, refocus our lives. Let's recommit our lives to, for me, I had to recommit to what I believe God had placed me there for, which was to help them to grow into men. And, you know, so I put the winning and the losing behind me. I was no longer afraid of how I was going to be defined as to whether I won or lost. I was just going to, do what I believe I was sent to do, and that was to help them to grow into men. So we recommitted ourselves to the work and to understanding that there's a lot of character that can come from losing, and that, you know, in the end, the loss honestly propelled them to greater heights than winning would ever have done. We understand now. At that time, we didn't understand it, but that's exactly what happened.
We're talking to the one and only Coach Drew Joyce, author of this fantastic book, Beyond Championships. Coach, as we sum up this show, I want you to share just a couple of pillars to our listening audience about what it takes to become strong and indisputable in one's life.
Yeah, you know, I was blessed to understand early on that coaching to me is a sacred responsibility, that I have an opportunity to pour my life into the lives of young men at a very impressionable age. So, you know, I just wanted to do what I believe was the right way. And you know, scripture talks about, you know, if, you know, to lead, you have to serve. So one of the things that we always stressed was, you know, what can I do to help, you know, each other? How can we help each other? You know, that's the great thing that, you know, when I see LeBron play today, and I know that came from us way back when we first started, was the commitment to the team. That, you know, you're part of something bigger than yourself. and that the game is, you know, 5-on-5, and you can serve your teammates in the game. You can serve each other in the game because you can, you know, you can do those things that are selfless and help someone else. And, you know, mm-hmm. so we use that every day. We talked about the group. We, you know, we talk about now the group, but, you know, at the beginning was, you know, just the idea that it's about the team and that, you know, you're stronger together than you are apart. And, you know, and then beyond that, we wanted them to see as their fame and notoriety grew that, you know, there's a part of service is giving back. And so we made it our business to always try to do some service work to give back. And I know it sounds, it doesn't sound like a lot, like it's a lot, but, you know, for young boys, you know, there's certain things that they don't really want to do. And there were times when they didn't want to, you know, carry 50-pound bags of potatoes from a tractor trailer into a church basement that where they could be divided up and meals could be provided for families in need during the holidays. But at the end of it, you know, it just built some camaraderie with each other that they, you know, that they still talk about to this day, the fun that had. But then even then, when they saw those families lining up to get those baskets, you know, the looks on their faces, I can still remember some of those looks. So, you know, and when you have young men who come from some meager existence, and LeBron is one of them, you know, he could see even in his need that there was a way to help others in their need, and that was just big for those guys. And I think it's really helped them to grow into the men that they are.
Coach, I want to thank you for being on our Success Made to Last Sports Legend Show, and thanks again for writing such a great book.
Well, thank you for those kind words. I appreciate the opportunity to share. Thank you very much.
That was Coach Drew Joyce II, and we appreciate him being on our Sports Legends Show today. This program is brought to you by Blinkist.com. You've heard us talk about Blinkist so many times. It's our favorite app on our smartphone where you get access to over 3,000 nonfiction books. One of the books that I'm reading recently is called Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. And it's a great book and, you know, talks about stuff that would help you become a best version. Hey, right now, for a limited time, Blinkist is offering a special offer just for you. Our audience, you can go to Blinkist.com/success. Try it free for 7 days and then save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist.com/success to start your free 7-day trial. Check it out. And thanks again for joining us on Success Made Last. If you like this show, let us know with a comment and rating on our website, successmadetolast.com. And if you want to kick your week off with a fast start, subscribe to our newsletter. It's full of wit and wisdom. As we always say here, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week.